Yeah, your eyes don't deceive you. It's a Mac show. We're back. Summer hiatus done. Work done for the moment. And well, I may come back. We don't know yet. But we're here. We're actually recording something. Huzzah. Bloody hell.
Yay.
We're supposed to have Greeny, but based on the fact we're going to have a bit closer ties with Tiesto hosts going forward, that might not be a bad thing. Greeny, if you're listening, true. I didn't mean it. Get your ass over here as fast as you can. Joining me, fantastic bunch, Doc, starting us off. How you doing, man?
Aloha. You know, the first message that Patrice sent that asked if we were going to have a show because he's going to be busy and he was going to be sad not to be here. And you said, mm-hmm. No, can't because I have a lot of work. I'm going to be on a summer hiatus. I was like, perfect. It's not my fault because I also had a big job that happened at the same time.
Awesome.
So I literally finished last week. So it's kind of perfect timing, but it's funny that I didn't have to be blamed for it. So thank you, Patrice.
Mate, it's fantastic to be back. I was talking to Muller earlier on. I was saying, like, you know, oh, okay, I haven't been sleeping brilliantly and I've got loads to do. And I just like, oh, coming in to do the show. And then as soon as I set everything up and it's ready to go, even when it's shit, and it's because we've got audio issues, I'm just like, it's instantly in me. It's like, I'm so glad I'm doing this. Just comes mm-hmm. right back. It's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to which, Jeff Gamet. How the devil are you, mate?
I'm doing great, and especially because I'm hanging out with all of you.
Yeah, mate. I've missed it. I mean, we've dropped out of the charts as well. We're not in iTunes anymore, so we're going to try and fix that as well. So get all your mates to listen to us and subscribe so we get back in the charts, for Christ's sake. Good to have you back, mate. Did you do anything with your summer worthwhile? Do bears?
I'm sure I did.
Do bears sit in the trees? I saw your picture.
Since you said that, I will tell the bear story. So last night I went to go to an event that was in Boulder and get the car parked, and this other car drives past and this guy leans out and this totally would happen in Boulder because it's Boulder. Guy leans out of his window and says, "Hey, a block back behind us, there's a bear in a tree if you want to go see it." So, of course,
Who doesn't want to see a bear in a tree?
We went right over to check out the bear in the tree. And it turned out to be a sow and two cubs. And they were just like lounging way up in this tree, just in someone's front yard.
In someone's yard?
Oh, yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. Boulder, it's right up against the mountains. And the bears will come down out from outside town, and they'll like hang out in trees in town. We also have a lot of deer and coyotes that run through town. Jeez. And of course raccoons everywhere. It's great.
And I mean, we're talking about Colorado, so you never know what those bears smoked before.
That is so true. And based on the way they were just like hanging on the tree branches, you know, like totally draped over them, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that they took something to help them chill.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that would scare me, actually. If a bear's chasing you in the wilderness and you're just like, I can't even climb the trees. The only thing I can do is probably find a ravine and jump into a shallow creek or something from about 800 feet. That's it.
Boiling. Yeah. Well, the bears. Yeah, that's true. But yeah, the bears in Colorado, we don't have grizzlies anymore. So it's black bears. And they.
Is that because you shot them all or something? Or?
Yeah, most of them were shot and killed. And,
oh, okay.
And then the others were pushed out by human growth in the areas.
Okay. That's sad.
It's really sad. It's also why we really don't have wolves anymore either.
Muller Bike has put about Greeny being a full moon, maybe. Wes has put, so Greeny is Greeny in dark mode. Muller's put, was that a grizzly end? Jesus Christ. to the grizzlies. And Patrice is joining us from Arizona, Mr. Jet Setter, flying back and forth across the Atlantic to Germany. And you're moving back, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, like, it's a temporary move to Germany for 3 months, like, basically for a single project that I'm probably not even going to fully wrap up in that time. And then I'm switching to another team, another department in Austria. So looks like we're all, like, entire family here, we're all moving to Austria. End of the year.
That's got to be pretty, though, surely. Austria's got to be beautiful.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. Like, I mean, I've been to Austria, like, a couple of times, like, not too often. I've been to the city where we're going to live, like, once for, like, I don't know, 10 hours or something. Like, flying in the morning and leaving in the afternoon. So, yeah, it's going to be cool. Like, I'm bored with Germany, so Austria is fine.
I would love to go to a classical concert in Vienna. One of my good friends is a flight attendant for the airlines, and she says it's amazing.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. I mean, Vienna is like, I mean, it's like an old, like, for American, it's funny. Like, I mean, if you imagine like a really old city, like centuries old, basically, like cobblestone and everything, that's basically Vienna.
Cobblestoned Vienna. There we go.
Uh-huh. Patrice, I want to point out, you clearly have the best life because you're in a position where you can say, well, I'm bored with Germany, so let's go to Austria.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to lie. It wasn't my choice. Like, if I had a choice to stay here, I would have stayed here. But since I have to go back, at least I got to choose where I want to go.
Yeah, so that's cool.
Yeah, excellent. I mean, life.
Superb. The week in Apple, then. Well, the summer in Apple.
Nothing happened at all.
Do you know what? So I watched the keynote this morning. I just thought, I better watch it because I've got a show to do, so I could do with working out what happened, because I've kept absolutely zero up to date with Apple stuff. So I watched the keynote this morning, and it was a good keynote, I thought.
Yeah, it was an okay one. I would say, like, it definitely wasn't the most exciting one. It definitely wasn't the longest one they've ever done. It was a solid one. It wasn't super boring. I mean, other than like the three game demos.
Yeah, they were.
What I like that they did, I like the fact that they kept it moving, because, you know, that's one thing that gets you in every time. They kept it moving.
It was.
And this go round, I did the post keynote show on Twitter. And one of the things that I pointed out on MacBreak Weekly was they had a lot of women on the stage this time. And it didn't really seem like it was the, let's just place these guys in here because this is what people want to see. Like, these guys were literally running their teams, you know, and it's just the projects that they were working on all came to fruition this time. So I thought that was very, very cool, you know. That's something that we've been talking about a lot, and the industry's been talking about a lot. So it's good to see Apple out in front of these things.
Yeah, and I mean, it is what you said. Like, it's literally the people running the show. I mean, you saw that in June at DevDev. Like, I mean, it wasn't just the keynote where there were a lot of women in charge. Like, all the sessions, like, there were a lot of very technical sessions that were led by like women actually working on those things. Like, it wasn't that they just sent someone like just to say, oh, we're so diverse. No, it's literally the people who are running those teams or running or even like developing the features that we're seeing.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Yep. Very cool. I love that the people that are doing these presentations and demos at the keynote and at WWDC, this isn't gratuitous. These really are the people. It's great.
Yeah, that was cool.
The only thing that always gets me, and it was worse this time, I think, than it's ever been before, was just don't write a script that you've written to try and make it sound like you haven't written a script, because it's freaking obvious that you've done it. And it's like, all this stuff. So, yes, thanks, Tim. And it's they read it out. And the script is supposed to be so that they can flow it out and they can actually say it, but they can't do it.
Yeah.
And it sounds 10 times worse than if they just admitted they were reading a script. That would be far better.
I think there's people who don't know how to ad lib. Because, like, I do a lot of radio reads, a lot of TV reads, and I've done television here before. And especially on a show like this, like what we're doing right now, this is supposed to be loose, bunch of mates at the pub, having a drink with no drink because it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's somewhere up there, the show producer, the runner, or like Mueller Biker in this case would say, okay, listen, guys, you know, these are key points. We have to make sure we talk about our sponsors, you know, make sure you don't say anything crazy. And other than that, you know, just be normal, be natural. Oh, yeah, but can you remember to talk about the Christmas event where we're collecting toys for kids? And everything will be going along swimmingly. And somebody was like, and don't forget, in December, we will be collecting toys for kids. And I was like, bruh. That's not what they meant. They meant, you know, flow it in, but don't say it like, you know, you're reading it off the script. And I think it's that combination. You know?
It is a bit saccharine-y Brady Bunch, though, isn't it? It's like, oh, time to laugh joke. Ha, ha, ha.
Well, I mean, like, one thing you have to know is, like, every single word, like, everything Tim Cook says, everything everybody says is a script. Like, they all have it. Like, you can tell sometimes, like as you said, like some people aren't as good at it yet. I mean, when Tim Cook started out, like he wasn't very good at like working with those scripts. Now they figured out how to sound natural and still have a script. But you can tell they have written a script and they have practiced until they basically are like, they could do that in their sleep. And like some other people that like for them, it's the first time they're nervous and like they're not as good yet. But like give them a little while, like give them a year or two of practice and they will be as good as like everybody else. I think Steve Jobs might have been the only person that probably never wrote a script and used it.
No, I don't believe that for a second. He probably had some key points. I mean, I would never write a script. I would just have key points on a list I would want to go through and. You know, if I miss them, I'll miss them. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah, the bullet point outline is necessary. The script, not so much.
Fatty feels good, I got to say. I thought his bit was excellent. His bit is always excellent, so.
His jokes are still as corny, but then they're funny because we already know that they're coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He always has at least one or two absolutely corny jokes. Like they're dad jokes at this point, you know?
I thought there'd be a bit of Eddie Q. No Eddie Q.
Oh, he's driving his Ferrari somewhere.
No, but I thought Q would have been there because of the subscription stuff. But...
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Subscription
stuff. Yeah, but Tim did that.
I just thought.
I am so proud of them on the subscription game. Like, you know you're coming out weak sauce, so let's just bring the price at weak sauce and then don't sweat it. You know, work with it after the fact. If they had came out of the game at the $9.99 everything, it would have been trouble. Now, I do feel that they have to do a $19 bundle that opens up everything. I would love that bundle to be $14. I don't think that's practical, but I like a $19 bundle that gives me music, TVs, magazines, and games, and maybe a little bit of cloudy storage all at one time. And, oh, it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. Super gorgeous. I'm very proud of them of that.
What do we think about the prices? So let's go for the arcade. Now, I got the, and I'll gladly stand corrected on this because I don't remember the WWC keynote, but I got the impression that that was going to be about $8.99 and it's $4.99. Did they climb down on price or am I just making that up in my head?
They did not announce a price in June and like people were speculating that it would be the like usual $10, like $9.99 that Apple usually uses. Like, I mean, that's what people thought about Apple TV. But I mean, Apple knows that, like, I mean, they only have 100 titles. And yeah, I mean, those might be great titles, but it's only 100. And like charging $10 a month for like 100 titles out of, like, I mean, and you don't know how many you're going to like initially it's just too steep. So they were like, I mean, let's do this like for a year maybe. And then when we have the catalog and when we have the content, then we can raise the price and say, okay, now you're getting something extra. And now we're charging $9.99.
I don't know that they will. I think there'll be slow increases, but I don't think there's going to be a jump.
I don't think we're going to see a price increase on Apple Arcade. I think it's going to stay $4.99 for a long time. And I'm betting part of the logic from Apple's standpoint is, first, they can afford it. But second, That's like buying a game a month that you play for an hour and then never touch again. Mm-hmm. But now you get all the games and you can just play them whenever you want.
Yeah.
But Frogger is awesome, dude, by the way. I installed Arcade and I played with it a little bit yesterday. And I just grabbed Frogger because that's what was in the keynote. And it's actually pretty mm-hmm. fun. Like, it's a game from our days, you know, so I kind of appreciate it. But the titles looked pretty good. I'm not as big a gamer as you guys, so I would want, you know, I would defer to you to comb through and see what's there. But the flagship Frogger is pretty awesome.
I'm a toilet gamer.
Yeah, and I'll ask my kids.
Yeah, I'm a toilet gamer, and they can still have my money. I don't care. $4.99. It's like I'll at least run it for 3 months because I get 1 month free anyway. But I'll at least run it for 3 months, and then if at the end of 3 months I'm not paying anything, well, okay, fair enough. That'll be it. If I'm not playing anything, rather. But the other thing as well, I was going to ask the question: what about family sharing? Because if I pay $4.99,
it is family.
So there you go. Straight away, I got two kids that are going to burn the hell out of that.
Yeah, it's $4.99 for, I think, six people. So, like...
Dude, done.
Yeah, you're going to get your $5 a month out of that, no problem.
Apple TV as well. So they've got all the games on the Apple TV. Now, the only thing
but not yet.
The only thing I think they've got to worry about, and this is quite an interesting point, I think, because my my original 12-inch iPad, am I right in saying it's not going to get iPad OS? Oh, it will.
It should. It's not that old. It's like 2 years old.
They've got to be really careful here because there's a balance to strike between legacy phones and maintaining subscriptions. Because if you're saying, right, you know, it works on my phone, iPhone 7 now. Okay, great. So I've got an old iPhone 7 that Ellis is using and it works just fine. If it then suddenly lapses and it's like, no, well, you've got to install iOS 14 on your device to use that game, then it means that the subscription could get cancelled. So they don't want to lose income at one end by forcing income in at the other end. Because I think they would probably find that the legacy income will exceed the value of the new item purchase.
One of the things that the blogosphere kind of got onto this week, and a lot of people were talking about, like, you know, everybody loves to rip the new phones and stuff like that. But the one thing everybody gave credit for is that iOS 13 reaches pretty far back in the silo as far as still being able to work. And not just, oh, you can install it so we can have that checkbox to say you can install it. I forgot whose video I was watching, but one of the dudes says it actually works, and it works really, really good on a super, like, you know, Jeff Gamet age device.
I think they've got to. There is a cross point analysis, isn't there? Of at what point do you then step away from the legacy and lose the subscription versus keep the legacy when actually it probably will run? You could make it run quite easily. You're only deliberately defaulting it because you then keep the subscription. Sorry, Duck, we're keeping you up, mate. But yeah, we are actually. It's, funny enough.
It's early in the morning, dude. Sorry.
No, but what I'm saying there's got to be an analysis there where they cross over. No.
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, I think usually it's like 5-6 years. I think most people, like, I have it in my family, like one of my daughters, she has an iPhone 5 and we're going to upgrade her simply because it's so old. I mean, she can't get, like, she can't even get Apple Arcade. She can't get the latest software. I mean, till now she could, but now it's like done. And we're like, yeah, it's time. Like, it's fine. Like, it has been, I mean, this phone has been in the family for a long time.
Yeah, but then you offer an iPhone 7. She goes, get stuffed. I want 11 Pro Max, bitch.
Well, you'll have to pay for that. So.
It goes from the 7th generation iPod Touch, the SE, through the 6s, the 7s, the 8s, the 10s, I was going to say Xs, and then the 11s. So that's a pretty decent swap spread, of devices, fam.
No, I think they've been really good at it. I'm just saying, I think they've got to be careful because you don't want to lose the subscription just because of trying to force people to upgrade who wouldn't upgrade anyway.
Yeah, but I think it's a minority. I mean, the iPhone is old enough now that, like, I mean, and Apple has all the data. Like, we're only guessing based on what they've shared and what we've seen. But I think Apple knows fully well that, like, most people will, after a couple of years, I mean, it might be, let's say, 4 or 5 years, but after that, they will upgrade. And if they get pushed by even, like, something like a subscription where it's like, hey, this app does not work, or, like, this game does not work on your phone anymore, they might say, well, it's time, and do it. And I mean, Apple Apple is making it super easy. Like, I mean, they, mm-hmm. like, the upgrade program, the, like, I mean, all the, like, payment plans and, like, trade-ins and everything Apple is doing, they're making it super easy to, like, upgrade.
So, Ewan.
Yes, man.
The iPad OS is iPad Air 2, iPad Air 3G, third gen, sorry, iPad Mini 4, iPad Mini 5, iPad 5, iPad 6, iPad 7, 9, 7, 10, 5, 11, and 12, 9. iPad, so even Air. The iPad 1 goes all the way back to iPad Air 2, which is circa 2013.
Yeah, no, I've just found a graphic. Muller's just looked this up on Techno Buffalo, and there's a full list here, and everything that you just said there, you almost read it out in audio.
Because I'm reading it off of Apple site. So.
No, but what I'm saying is it's nearly in the same order as the Tech Buffalo thing. So that's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, and Muller just in the chat room said that the trade-in prices are not as good, like what Apple's offering. Yeah, I mean, that's basically any trade-in, like with a bigger like trade-in partner, is not going to be as good as selling it yourself. Like, that's always the same. Like, because they
want to take their cut.
Yeah, same with cars. Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing. So. But Apple is offering it, and Apple is making it very easy when you buy a new phone to basically automatically trade in. I mean, that's what I did.
Yeah, I tried mine in, but unfortunately, someone ran into it, and it's go away. Mm. It's all crazed and smashed and knackered, and it's £329 to replace the digitizer on it. So I'm not. I still. I want to do it because it looks horrible, right? You're pulling it out in front of customers and trying to show them stuff. And it's like, sorry about that. So that was good. Yeah, I think the subscription. What about Apple TV Plus then? I mean, again, $4.99, take my money, quite happy.
Well, and free with any device you buy.
Well, don't you get the arcade free with the device as well?
No.
Nope.
No, just the Apple TV, right? Okay.
Just the Apple TV.
They're not that dumb.
Well, they're making the content, like, whereas, like,
arcade is something I think a lot of people would jump on. So it's very nice of them to be genuine with us. The TV is one of those things people could love it or leave it. But like gaming, even like for guys like you and I, you and the toilet gamers, the airplane gamers, games everyone has on their phone. Even, you know, the mother-in-law, she has the gambling-oriented slot machines and things like that. So they had to keep arcade where they can get a little money. I think the TV thing for get a new device for free. I mean, as much as I buy devices, I'm always have free Apple TV.
Well, you won't, because they probably will only do it this year. But like, I mean, you have to look at the competitive landscape. Like, I mean, on the gaming side, there are some subscriptions, but very few. Whereas on the streaming side, I mean, it's basically everybody and their grandma has a subscription service now. Like a streaming service. True. Mm-hmm. So like Apple is competing with that. And like the easiest way to get people into the door is make it really cheap and give it away. Like if they pay, if they buy something, I think the cheapest way to get into it is like buy an Apple TV.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, I need to buy a new Apple TV. My older one starts throwing out Chinese characters now and I can't read. But it's asking me, and it just gets stuck that way. And it's kind of irking because I know they're probably going to release another model this year. I buy that.
Yeah, the TV. Oh, God, clicked on the app. Apple 4K TV is coming in at... $199, isn't it, for the bigger one?
Yeah, I think it's like $179 or $159, something like that.
Yeah, $199 for the 64 gig. I don't know. See, that's the thing is I've never known. It's like, so, you know, like with your phone, you get a notification, don't you, that you're running out of data or you know that you're filling your iPhone up because you can see how much you've filled. But with the Apple TV, I bought the 64 gigs. I thought, well, just, you know, I couldn't care less for £20. But actually, I'm sitting there going, I never know if I've used any of that. What benefit have I received from having that?
Yeah, exactly.
None at all. And it's just like,
you know, that's a good point.
There's no way to check
how much space you're using on your Apple TV.
See what I'm saying?
I don't even know where to check. Like, it's probably somewhere in settings, but like, wouldn't even know where.
They're sitting there and they're having a meeting down at Cupertino, and they're like spinning it out with the big, some dumb idiot will pay an extra 20 quid and not even question it. That was me.
Yep, me.
That was me.
Yeah. Yep. There's the challenge to anyone who's listening. Send us in how to test whether you're getting the most out of your Apple TV or not, and whether you could quite happily do with the 30. In fact, everyone could probably do with the 30.
And you go to General and you go to Manage Apple TV Storage, and then it just tells you how to delete the apps, but it doesn't necessarily say how much. I can reach my Apple TV from here.
There'll be a hack you can get in and do it or something. Flash the firmware, and then you can go, you have 2 gigabytes.
It's probably somewhere General about or something.
Yeah, I bought the 64 gig model. I've put about 480k on there. That's it.
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, using a lot of that storage for like caching and whatever, but probably not 64 gigs worth.
So who's subscribing to Apple TV then?
Me. Well, I get it for free, but I would.
We're getting a phone today, so that's automatic.
Oh, you flash bastards. No, I'm not getting a phone. So I did tweet out, if anyone wants to sponsor me with a phone, they can. I will gladly push their product on this show forever for buying me 11. Because I'm on the, I do every other year, and I've
XR, right?
And I've got the 10R. And now I've got the 10S Max plus 10 Max this thing. So I got the frigging big one. I got the big 10S thing, the big 10.
You say you have the big 10S, is it the same thing if I have this big 10S?
Big 10S Max.
They're very, very similar, Doc.
No, you can't play with those words. Not around me, mate. Watch. What do we think to the watch, the Series 5 watch?
So let me tell you the story about watch. I have a 3, and I didn't get a 4 last year because it was just the timing of the watch being released was right around the time of my trip and everything, so I just said let it go. Like those two girls in the Frozen part. Anyway, so this year I decided to buy my 11 Pro Max Midnight Green 512 to splash the cash because I worked all summer instead of wasting my Friday mornings hanging out with a bunch of weird dudes from all around the world. So the last one was on the AT&T installment plan, because again, when it was time to buy the phone, cash was just weird place. I said, I'm going to put it on this next thing. I'll pay it off early. And I didn't. So what I noticed is I have basically like $150-$160 a month that's just yanked out of my, you know, account because of AT&T. But that's paid off. And so I'm going to lose 62 of that from having the other phone paid off. So they sent me a text and it says, hey, you can get a Apple Watch for $17. So I was like, well, I don't already miss that money. It comes out of the account every month anyway. My bill was about to tank by like $60. So I just took it because I'm not even going to notice it. Mm-hmm. And it was dumb. It was probably dumb, but I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, it's this year. I mean, it's cool. Like the always on thing is cool, and I really want. Like, I actually think it would be very useful for me. But it's simply like with the move and everything, bad timing. I might still get it because I figured out that I have a cellular version 4, a Series 4, and I can't use that in Europe. Like the cellular doesn't work, so I might have to sell it or trade it in or something, and get a new one, and then I might get the 5. Just because I can. But it's like, yeah, I would say it's a minor upgrade from the Series 4.
I want to take the UN challenge and say everybody should send one to Patrice for his wedding gift.
Oh, that would be cool.
We'll have a whip round. We'll have a whip round in the Slack room.
That would be awesome.
I'll check in the tenor. Now, I had the Series 1 watch, or the Series 0 watch, actually. And I decided, you know, that's it. It wasn't for me. I'm not going to have it again. Ellis has still got it. And I've never put it back on my wrist since. And I went back to wearing my tag. So it's, you know, done dusted. Mm-hmm. But I was seriously close to buying one this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I backed away. I backed away. I was just like, no.
You know, if I didn't have a Series 4, I would have bought the Series 5.
Yeah, it does. It looks a lot better. The screen looks a lot better. It looks a lot less like a pillow than it used to. Mm-hmm. And the 44 mil would look really, really cool. So.
Yeah.
No, I like definitely. The 44 mil. I like the always on approach. And I wish everybody would stop screaming for always on phone. I don't want always on phone because sometimes my friends, Patrice, Jerome, Topher, text weird things that I would not like to be shown on the front screen of my phone all the time.
There is a certain thing as well because of my age. I'm 53 now. So it's,
Oh, me too.
I've lost weight, and I'm doing better, and I'm okay. But there was a bit of me was sitting thinking it would be a prudent move, you know, have the ECG thing and the monitoring, and there was that little video that they showed with the bloke crying, going, you know, I don't know what would have happened because he fell over, he had a heart attack, he fell over, his watch automatically called the emergency services, then called his wife, and you're just like,
yeah.
Oh, I mean,
that's very compelling.
That's compelling. Compelling. That's the word. Compelling.
Yeah, and I mean,
the keynote that made me cry was the mom that was pregnant, and if she didn't get the baby out when she got the baby out, both her and the baby would not be in that video today.
Yeah,
I straight up tear came out the face, bro.
Me too.
I ain't even gonna lie.
Yeah.
Wes has said he's gone straight from the 3 to a Series 5 Nike.
Uh huh.
Yeah. See, that's a nice upgrade right there. From 3 or older to the 5, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I got zero.
I mean, and I can tell you something. I mean, I went, like, what was it, May? I think in May, I went to first urgent care and then the emergency room, like, just checking something out where we weren't sure what was going on. And, like, knowing what my heart rate is, and, like, it was elevated simply because of, like, all the, everything that was going on. Like, they were, oh, your heart rate is elevated. And I was like, yeah, that's just, like, that's normal. Like, I could, because I know my heart rate and I know what's going on. And I know when I'm sick, my heart rate is, like, at a certain level. I could tell them, yeah, no, that's, like, that's fine. And knowing that and being able to show them the data and say, hey, this is, like, this is how it looks like, was very helpful. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's cool. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, the only thing that the Apple Watch page, you know, if you go apple.com/Apple Watch Series 5, whatever they call it, the one thing that that page does for me is it shows me that my watch has been boring for years because I've been using black aluminum with black band and some other, you know, third-party bands, but they're always been sort of subtle. I'm seeing some really cool color combinations.
Oh, yeah.
You go, man, I haven't really stepped up on my color combination game, and these are amazing.
My favorite is...
That's one of the reasons why I'm glad they're doing the Swatch thing now. What do they call it? They're not calling it Swatch because, of course, I can't. Apple Watch Studio, where you go in and pick the model you want and the bands you want and build your custom watch. I think that's great because your watches are your personality.
I wish I could buy it without a band because I have all the bands I need. And I have to pick another one. But okay, like I'll do that.
the rainbow band. I've got a guy who does electrical work for me. He's an older guy, very older guy compared to me. And he's doing it. He's retired, but he just does a bit here and there because he's from a generation that doesn't that you know is quite stayed in their ways and quite you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, narrow minded.
Yeah. No, he's not. But he's just like. Well, anyway, so I'll tell you the story and then you can pass a judgment. But he said he came around, he was going out and he dropped something off for me and he was wearing this waistcoat and it was a rainbow kind of patterny. It wasn't like a rainbow stripe. It was just, I can't describe it. It was just, it flowed, if you like, but it looked really cool. And he wore it and he came out and he said, the wife bought me this and he opens his jacket. And I'm like, oh, that's nice. That looks really good. And he said, he said, yeah, I think it's a bit gay. And I went, well, it kind of is. And he's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, that's kind of like, that's what it is. That's the rainbow, you know, that's
the flag,
the flag, statement. The statement. Yeah. And he's just like, what? He was just like, it's a bit gay. Well, but, yes, it is actually, right?
That's okay.
Muller's on fire today, boys. straight out there, and he's found how to check your Apple TV storage. Go and buy TV storage app. So you fire your TV up, it's 99 cents TV storage, and it tells you exactly how much you've used. And here's the thing I was getting at. Look, see that graphic right there? Total use space, 4 gigabytes. That's what mine's going to say.
Probably, yeah.
500K you, and you're an idiot. You've given 20 quid away. You didn't have to. So's Jeff. That's why he's laughing nervously.
Oh, total. Yeah, I'm laughing because I know exactly what I'm going to see when I buy that app and run it.
We've got, right, that's the challenge. Every single listener, right, has got to go, if they've got an Apple TV, they've got to go and buy that app because it's only 99 cents. I'll send you the money back. And then you've got to go and see how much, and we'll see who's used the most space on their Apple TV. And I bet you the winner is no more than 8 gig. I'll lay you money. What a bunch of wankers.
I can't wait
we are.
To do it now. Now I'm super hella curious.
I expect you've got to disappear upstairs if you want to do that, don't you? That's the trouble.
No, I have Apple TV here too. That's how the doors and everything work. I have Apple TV connected to Apple every TV.
Okay, so feel free to do it, mate.
Crikey Trousers has put $1 on this. When we're done.
Crikey Trousers put, I wish Mother Biker was on fire.
Oh,
oh shit, we're back. Oh, now, so the other thing was the health stuff, because I've got to say, you know, we come on this show and we take the piss out of Athol a little bit, and it's, you know, some of it's funny, some of it's, you know, lighthearted and just a little dig, and then some of it's pointed, but I really can't take the piss out of their approach to the health stuff. They have really got it sorted. They've got great ideas. Yeah. They're pushing it forwards. They're doing it. It's not like you have to buy the ECG app if you want to know whether you're going to die imminently or not. Mm-hmm. They are genuinely. It is an egalitarian-ish approach. I totally get it. So
it is. And, like, I mean, I've met the team behind it. I've met some key people there. And, like, I mean, they're hiring. So, like, I'm pretty sure we haven't seen even half of what they're working on. And, like, I mean, they know how important it is, and they have, like, I mean, I work in the health industry, and, like, I mean, there's always, like, some people, some doctors are saying, oh, it's not useful, blah, 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 but, like, I know from, like, real world experience from people in hospitals and whatever, it is super helpful for them. Like, I mean, is it, like, it's not perfect, it's not, like, it doesn't solve everything. But every little bit, like every little improvement helps. And Apple is making it super convenient and super easy and, like, I mean, accessible for, like, normal people. So I think that is super, like, super helpful. And, like, they're targeting different groups. I mean, they're targeting, like, people my age for, like heart rate and fitness and whatever. They're targeting people that are, like, way older for, like, especially the... like fall detection and stuff like that, the high, like also the heart rate monitoring with like high or low heart rates and whatever.
Yeah.
Like they're targeting everybody. I mean, probably from like teenagers up to like whatever, 100 year olds. Everyone. And I think that is important. And that is something that I'm not seeing anywhere else. Like, I mean, yeah, they are like specialized like companies like that make medical equipment or whatever, but like in like, neither Microsoft, Google, Amazon, anybody, like nobody is doing it on that level and with that commitment.
I just think it's
Apple's also doing a great job of making the health app less gender biased all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then they're aiding in research. I mean, that was one part of the keynote. I don't know how interesting it was for everybody else, but for me, it was like they're working with like universities and hospitals and whatever on
it's not
research.
It's not interesting for people until they need it. That's the sad part. That's really, really unfortunate part. And that's humans all around the world. It's definitely not a thing until you know you need it. And then you see a lot of people. It's funny because like Ewan just turned 53. I just turned 53. I see a lot of my friends all of a sudden that used to tease me about my random like trying to get healthy movements, like they're all doing it. And I go, oh, so the doctor told you to cut back, huh?
Yeah, it's kind of, and like the earlier you do it, the better it is. Like, I mean, you can't fix really what's already broken, but if you like prevent it, it's better.
That's the seven ages, or the three ages of man, isn't it? Men from 30 to 40 worry about nothing. Men from 40 to 50 worry about their penis, and men from 50 to 60 worry about their heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yes,
yeah. And I mean,
pretty true. Pretty accurate.
It is. It is. Yeah. So like if you can, if you're in your 30s or 20s and you can take care of your heart now and like everything, you're probably not going to be in a position where you have to worry about that later.
That's just one of those things you can, like my boy's 16 now and I just can't, that's gone, Jesus, that's gone fast. But there's something like, you look at him and it's just like, you can't explain to a 16-year-old the benefits of trying to extend your life now rather than waiting till you're my age.
I had that conversation yesterday with a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
And she looked at me, but vegetables are gross. I go, yeah, I got it, but trust me, you'll be happy later.
And some of the vegetables will kill you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them.
Yeah.
iPhone then. So iPhone 11 and 11 Pro Max S. Super duper. I really do want one. I gotta say the one thing that I think that they've got wrong with the iPhone is that it's not thinking about its ISO rating to its shutter speed. Because if you look at the video that they made of the cars running through across the Salt Lake, if you look at that on the head-on shots, it's fine. But when you get into where you can see like anything that strobes on the wheel, you can clearly see that that's a mismatched shutter frame and an ISO rating. So if you get a a video camera and you shoot at 100 ISO and you shoot at 1/100th of a second, you'll get super smooth video. If you suddenly shoot then at 60th, especially if you then start cranking down the light, if you're at 60th, then you'll end up with like a stuttering as it goes around because it's asynchronous. So you get that on the wheel shot. If you look at the single wheel shot as it's rotating when it's in close. And if you've got it on the keynote when you're watching it on iTunes, if it's a lower quality, it stands out even more. They've got to sort that out. But I looked at the guy that was making the video in the room with the guy with the sax and everything, and that ability to shoot on two lenses at the same time and adjust one or the other at the same time was just, that is so good. I could totally, I could knock the crap out of that on site at work.
Yeah, so I use Filmic Pro already. I don't know how much more they're going to charge us to bump up, but where I am at Filmic Pro right now is just $20. So it's free. Then you paid another $20 to unleash the demons in Pro. I have several gimbals that I use it on, and the 180 degree shutter rule is very easily maintained in Filmic Pro. The stock app is doing some computational math to try to do it for you. But I completely understand what you're talking about, you because I try to stay at 180 all the time, which is a pain in the butt when you keep switching between 24 and 60. I switch between 24 and 60 all the time, and then I have to go redo the math. And a lot of lenses don't have the proper aperture, so you got to skip up a little bit in order to get you at that 180. But yeah, it's a thing, and I would tell everybody, if you don't really understand it without getting into the nerdetry of the way the shutters used to flip around, every time a second, just put your hand in front of the camera and do this. Do you have nice motion blur? Okay, you're on point. If you don't have nice motion blur, then your shutter speed is not matching your aperture, and you're getting that weird, robotic.
Yeah.
What I found really interesting as well is when, I don't know who it was, like when they explained basically that they calibrate all lenses and everything in the factory. So like they're all the same. And like if you change something, whatever it is, if you change any setting on one of the cameras, it is automatically done on the other. So if you switch cameras or if you switch lenses, it's like it's there. You don't have to adjust. I mean, you might have to adjust it for whatever reason, like for yourself, but like the settings are there. You're not starting from scratch just because you switched the lens. And it's the same. Like the settings are identical. And that is really impressive, like how they did that and why they did that.
Yeah.
Like it's a little thing. Like I don't think I'm not sure any other company would have done that. They would have been like, well, it's like every lens is its own thing and we're going to treat it as separate. And Apple is like, no. Like, make it easy for people. Calibrate.
Well, it's kind of like that now, right? Because one of the things that they did by doing, even going as far as doing the equidistance and making sure that they're all focused on the same spot, from reading all of the reviews and watching what everybody was saying, a lot of the current situation does not have it set up to where people are basically like each camera is separate, right? There is no, mm-hmm. like they're all tied together and they're all equidistance apart. So you can get like weird corners because the two cameras don't mesh per se, mm-hmm. or you can only use one at a time. That's the other thing mm-hmm. I heard. Is that one guy said that at least five of the cameras that have three lenses, you can only use one lens at a time. So mm-hmm. it's three lenses for the body's sake and to say that they have three lenses, but they're technically useless. And that's the sad part about the competition is a lot of people get caught up into buying features that they use once because it sounds really good on TV and it doesn't really flesh out. And mm-hmm. Apple doesn't do that. And then we yell at them, well, how come Apple doesn't have X? Well, it's because they want to make sure it works or that it's useful.
mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, you can record. I mean, that's what Filmmaker also showed. You can record four cameras at the same time. Like all three in the back and the front at the same time.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy.
That's so crazy. Cool. You think about that processor, that is insanity.
Yeah, and I mean, that means they have to like process everything like from four cameras, like in real time because it's a video. Like you want to see it and store it on device.
But in terms of post edit as well, that's going to be so much easier to stitch stuff together.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Of course.
And like, I mean, probably doesn't even need much color correction and stuff, which is awesome. Or at least not like, I mean, you might have to correct it, but then you just correct it the same on all. But
everyone's shoving everything through LUTs now. So it's, they'll do that anyway.
It'll when Apple finished the demo of the iPhone 11, so the two lens phone, I was so impressed with everything they had done with the camera already mm-hmm. and all the other features they had shown. And I had this brief moment where I thought, oh wow, we're about to wrap up the whole keynote. Mm-hmm. I was so impressed with the phone that I forgot they hadn't even gotten to the Pro phones yet.
Yeah
it was just I was really impressed. Here's my conundrum. I love the iPhone 11. I think mm-hmm. the feature set is great. I'm okay with two cameras and it's a really good price point for what smartphones cost now. Mm-hmm. And it's when I was done watching that part of the demo, I thought, okay, this is the phone I want to buy. Mm-hmm. But the phone body is bigger than the iPhone X and now the iPhone 11 Pro. Mm-hmm. And it's just a tiny bit too big for what I'm happy with. So here's the phone that I love at a price point that I'm okay with. And now for me to get a phone that meets the size requirement I have to go up to like $1,200.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, on the other hand, there's a lot of cool things that come along with that $1,200 price point. But do I really want to spend that much money on a phone right now?
Apple's got really good, though, as well at managing your storage. So, you know, the mm-hmm. amount of stuff that's sat up there and it's on my iCloud and account and it's not gumming up my phone, the stuff that's active on my phone, they've really kind of got that sorted because my phone's only half full at 256.
Yeah, and I have a 64 gig 10, and I have to watch my storage. And I'd say every 2 or 3 months, I get the alert saying, hey, you're almost out of storage on your phone, and I have to go and figure out what I want to clear off again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that's my other problem with the 10 Pro. At the price point it's at, I feel like its base storage should be 128 gig instead of 64 gig. I'm sorry, the 11 Pro. Thank you.
Yeah, totally.
I just did the Apple TV move because I bought 512, but I bought 512 knowing that based off of Filmic Pro and off of I have like four phone gimbals now, I am going to shoot a lot of video with that phone. The other thing that I know I'll shoot a lot more video than before is we just got a puppy.
Oh, what?
And it was technically, we bought it for Emma's for her birthday, but then the mom was like, it's too small right now. It's driving them crazy because it whines all night. So we have to get it to like 6 months and then we can give it back to her. But between me and Emma and the puppy running around the house, oh, there's plenty of video to be had.
Oh, yes.
So I just knew for a fact that and I have a couple of trips coming up this go round. And after my knee surgery, I'll be stuck in the house, so I'll have to shoot my YouTube videos from a chair. So I figured with the new camera, the new selfie, the 4K front-facing camera, done. That alone is going to eat up a lot more memory, you know, for shooting video and stuff. So I did it. But, yeah, Ewan's right about the way that it stores. And if you're a SetApp member and you use iMazing, getting the things in and out of Filmic Pro is very, very simple with apps like iMazing. And I've managed this 256. I have about 9 gigs left. So I did fill this 256 for what we would call filling.
Crazy.
You know, but
I got 180 gigabytes free on my 256, like available.
Yeah, but now you have a daughter, so watch that climb.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well,
I'm going to check mine in a sec, but Doc has gone and checked his Apple TV. Holy crap. Dude, what have you got on there? 29.8 gig.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's no porn. That's a straight blue line.
Well, you can't get porn, can you? That's the thing.
This is my office Apple TV, so there's no porn in there.
Well, there's no porn. You can't get porn on the Apple TV.
It was a joke. You're supposed to let it roll.
I know. All right. Sorry. My Asperger's kicked
it's okay.
In.
First show back in like how many months? You know, the jokes are just useless, I guess.
I'm not used to anymore, mate. I've used 91 gig of 256, so I'm not even half full. That was an overestimation on my part. But I want to know what that is. Because you're not storing photos
so
on there.
Why?
You're not storing movies.
Out. I mean, it's cool that I can see it, but tell me what the hang it is.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's not photos. It's not movies because they're transient. They come and go as Apple wants to buffer into them and then out again. That can't be just apps. What apps have you got on there?
Well, it could be apps like games, especially if you have games on there. They might actually
The only game I really have is Jetpack Joyride and Asphalt 8. Other than that, I don't game with my Apple TV.
Yeah, that's interesting. Muller's asking if he can see your puppies.
You want to see my pen?
Don't do it. Don't do it. Do not do it. Not now.
Yeah, we don't want to see it.
Luckily for you lot, someone's had a crawl through the code and they found out that there is an expansion battery case coming for 11 Pro and 11 Pro Max.
Well, is that surprising?
I don't think that's needed.
Apple has been doing it, so.
Well, yeah, just, you know, if you're struggling and you think, and Tim yesterday popped up at the Apple store with the lady that did the retail thing. Can't remember her name. Oh, Deirdre, that's it.
Deirdre, like the new head of retail.
Yeah. Yeah, she's... it'd be interesting to see what she's like, though, compared to Arendt's and stuff and how what the take is on her after, you know, after 6 months of being in the job and got on her feet under the table. Because she was very stilted yesterday, this morning. She was very stilted on the keynote, I thought. I want to give a shout out to all the key people. Yeah, and two-handed fist bump was just kind of like...
Back to the stilted thing or the people that need to get more comfortable with keynotes. Yeah. I noticed that there were a couple people that did the newbie thing when they're presenting, where they stop because they're anticipating that there will be laughter or claps. And then there's an awkward silence while they realize nothing's happening.
And then there was the dude that carried on talking over it all and went, yeah, after they did it. And he's going, yeah, I know. Yeah.
That guy was awesome.
He was good, actually. Yeah. Very good.
My favorite guy in the keynote was Indian Steve Carell.
Isha?
Yeah.
He was good when he was talking through the chip. He was excellent. I was quite rapt with that. I thought I'd go.
No, but I was just so just so enthralled by the fact he looked like Steve Carell in the Bollywood version. So I just could not stop laughing at that. It's not that it's funny, but those kind of things amuses me.
Am I allowed to make the title of this podcast Bollywood Steve and get away with it?
No, probably not.
Yeah, probably.
I wouldn't do it. But I get a kick out of finding people that look like people when I'm somewhere else that I shouldn't see them. So when I go to Japan and I find Japanese Jeff Gamet, like, it cracks me up. And I'll tell Karen, I say, look, that person looks exactly like so-and-so, but like in this country. And it's funny to me.
This is getting worse. Bollywood Steve and Japanese Jeff. Things,
you know, huh?
Bollywood, this is getting worse and worse. Bollywood Steve and Japanese Jeff. What are we doing next? What alliteration can we come up with next that's particularly offensive?
Peruvian Patrice?
Japanese Jeff.
Danish dog?
Yeah. That probably already exists.
So tell me that you've seen a Japanese Jeff Gamet.
I just realized something, though. English yuan is already 2 e's.
What?
We see that one.
There is 2 e's in yuan, yeah? One at the start, one in the middle.
No, it's just one of those things I just think is funny. For some reason, it always amuses me because it actually shows how closer we are as human beings, even though we have idiots that would love to tell us that we're not the same.
Oh, this is the friend's hand twin conversation, mate, all over.
Which one?
The friend's hand.
Oh, friend's
twin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There are certain features
to me because I never got into Friends.
I get a friend called James Baker, and his hands were quite distinctive. And I met someone that had the exact same hands as him. They were the way the nail formed and that kind of stuff. The amount of skin that was around the nail and that kind of stuff. It was identical. And so that's your hand twin. Joey, I think, wasn't it, that in Friends said, you know, he found his hand twin. Yeah.
That's funny.
Strange.
Anything else from the keynote or anything from the Apple news that I haven't covered that you think I should?
The only thing that I would like to cover, just sort of briefly, if you will, is I did a lot of ingesting reviews, not because I was going to change my mind or anything, but because of the handful of people that get the opportunity to go to shows like what Apple did at the event, there is a huge amount of people on like YouTube, Twitter, and the blogosphere that are working their tail off to become the next, you know, MKBHD or Mark Gurman or Rene Ritchie or the guys who are, you know, the Usual Suspects. Kevin Spacey movie. So what happens is, like, these guys get their cameras all set up, they got their cool background, they do the weird intros, and they start talking about this stuff like they've been in the industry forever. And a lot of them are missing the sort of basic journalistic principle. But because of the amount of followers they have, a lot of the statements that they make will go unnoticed. And again, it's not even the Apple fanboy. They do it. They did it to the Pixel. They did it to the Galaxy Note 10. Mm-hmm. People, because Apple didn't talk about certain things in the keynote because they don't want to bore everyone, people skipped a lot of really, really good features about the phone. And the other thing is the whole conversation of, oh, this is going to be boring because they didn't change the body style. Do you know how much iPhones would cost if they retooled every year?
Well, they have to retool. I mean, they have to retool because the camera gap's different.
Like there is body form retooling.
It's still it's the whole thing's retooled. There's no question it's retooled because the you can't mill out the phone the same way because of the change in the thing. So there has to be a new die made for that, and it has to be milled out differently, honestly. But it's CNC, so it's a lot easier.
I'm not that dumb, and let me put this down to you. I am the only person in the entire blogosphere that has stood foot in Foxconn, and so I've seen the machines that make the machines, right? So I know what they're doing. The way they do it is different, though. So it's like a long salad bar buffet, and they have pieces that they put into place. Some pieces are going to change minorly, just the handles and the way it is and the drill bits, but it's not the same as like a body form switch, right? There's a different level of retooling is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. A full body form switch hasn't happened. We've always had 3 to 4 years of the same shape, and then it switches, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then so the fact that everyone wants a brand new form factor every year, which means new cases, and they will bitch about, you know, cases, and there's already cases of problem. I mean, new cords, everyone to bitch about cords. If they put all the stuff that people want, the heat dissipation would be horrendous until they figured that out. They just see it, say, I want it. But then the heat dissipation doesn't work in this form factor. And then if they put it in, everyone goes, oh, the iPhone is so hot. Oh, it's burning me. I'm going to sue Apple, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, people, and I watch it happen with cameras. I watch it happen with cars. I watch it happen with phones. The stuff that people want, I guess because they think the technology is there, doesn't make sense. So the big one was 5G. If Apple gave you 5G chip right now, you couldn't use it. Like, it's not out in the wild. Chicago and San Diego, Atlanta, New York, LA are the only places in the U.S. that have kind of 5G in a really small network.
But like, but, the super 5G is forget about the 5G, mate, because you're off track now. What I'm saying is, the aluminium frame of the iPhone is milled. It's not
that.
It's not cast. So if it's milled, dude, all you got to do is change. Can I finish what I'm saying?
I got that.
Yeah. So if it's milled, all you got to do is change the CNC program, and it will mill something else. It will mill any friggin' shape you like.
Yep.
You just can't change the billet size.
Dude, I own a CNC machine. I have a $60,000 CNC machine. I post videos about.
So
it
why are you talking about
day.
A 5G radio? Because it doesn't matter. That's not what we're talking about. They could change the shape easily, but they don't want to because they're on a shape that they want to stick with. And then there is other issues about the fact that it can heat or not heat or one of those kind of things. But the thing is, they could change the shape if they really wanted to. It's
well,
just
if they
it's
change
a CNC
the shape,
change.
That wouldn't be enough. I'm just saying the way that people attack it, like they really just want to find something to attack it. So even if they change it, if they made it round AF, people would say, oh my God, they changed it to round. If they made it triangular, oh, they changed it to triangular. I'm like, people will bitch about the form factor no matter what.
Yep.
But I think it's unfair to call the changes that were made incremental at best because they're not incremental. If you really think about it, down to 1,200 nits, that's a big change. Like, that's a big change. But I think half the people that talk about this doesn't really understand it, or they don't want to understand it, or they just want to be able to say that, you know, I don't know. I just think they want to be able to say that something happened so they can get the clicks. I don't think they yep. even really care. Because I think the general people that use their phone don't even care. It's new. I want to buy it. I think it's the thing that I was always told when I was in sales, don't make people feel bad for what they bought because then they won't want to buy your product, even if you're kind of helping them. You got to make them feel like, well, you made a good decision this time, but if you buy this, your decision will be better.
Cool.
And so even that conversation of, oh, it's expensive. The phone is the same price as it's always been.
All right, mate. Don't trip over that soapbox when you go back upstairs. Eh? There's a good level.
Yeah. The other thing that we haven't talked about is the new iPad.
Go on then. 30 seconds.
Well, I mean, I think it's a real improvement. I mean, I'm like, don't tell.
Well,
like,
it's not out yet older. Either, though, is it? So it's 24th. They reckon that iPad OS is 24th.
Like, I mean, it looks like a solid improvement. I mean, it supports the first gen like Apple Pencil, and it's like $329. And like, I mean, wait until Black Friday, it's probably gonna be like $250 or something. And I'm pretty sure we're gonna buy one for our daughter, like for the older one, simply because like she likes to draw, and that would be awesome for her.
Man, no, excellent.
My take on the new iPad is that Apple decided that they want to have a device that can seriously compete in the education space.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That they want to have more iPads in schools, and this is a device that's at a price point, especially when you do education discount mm-hmm. and then bulk. This is a device that schools can buy. And and give students something that's potentially better, at least more durable than the crappy Chromebooks that kids are using.
And Jeff, while we're on the subject of soapboxes, do you want to go on dark mode?
Sure.
Tell us your thoughts on. Give us your dark thoughts on dark mode.
Okay. So when dark mode came out for Mac OS, I was excited because I was already using some apps in dark mode. Mm-hmm. I start using dark mode on the Mac, and after a few days, I realized this is a giant bucket of crap.
Horrible.
And dark mode on the Mac sucks.
Yep.
So I wasn't holding out much hope for liking dark mode in iOS. And I've been running developer beta on my iPad for a little while, and I tried the iOS 13 dark mode there, and it took me about a day to decide this is crap. So
I disagree.
Yeah,
me too. I've been using dark mode for like a year now.
Yeah, I mean, the dark mode on macOS to this day is not great. Like, I mean, now most mm-hmm. apps have adapted to it, but it's still not, like, there's still a lot of issues. But on iOS, yeah. I mean, I used it from day one, and I've not disabled it. I mean, I'm not even doing the automatic thing. Like, my stuff is on dark mode all day, every day, and I love it. Like, and I mean, that was in the betas where, like, a lot of apps were not even, like, adapted to it. So mm-hmm. now that the apps are coming out, it's even getting better.
I'm going to throw a twist in this for you because I've established I don't like dark mode on the Mac. I don't like dark mode on the iPad. I love dark mode on my iPhone.
I don't like it on anything.
I guess there must be something about the size app form factor where dark mode on my iPhone, that's the bomb. But everywhere else, I do not like it. I am very surprised to say that I am really loving dark mode on my iPhone.
Dark mode is Marmite.
Had Marmite, apparently there are only certain situations where I enjoy Marmite, uh-huh. I guess.
Well, let me just say, I don't like dark mode in the house. I don't like dark mode with the mouse. I don't like dark mode in the box. I don't like dark mode with a fox.
Do you like green eggs and ham?
No, dark mode is awesome. I've been using it since they first put it on the iPhone.
That's because you misheard and you thought it was dark mode.
Exactly. No, it's just much better for my old crunch-munching eyes, I guess. I don't know. I like
this podcast and all the other whinging that we do on this network and the soapboxes that we stand on are beautifully supplied by TSO hosts. We are absolutely lost without them. TSOhost.com. I've got a phone call with them on Monday. They want to do an awful lot more with us. We're going to have a bit more of a closer partnership than we've currently had so far. They like the vibe of the shows, which just amazes me.
okay.
I'm not sure they're listening. And we're going to do loads more. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be loads of stuff we can do. There's going to be loads of promotional stuff. And one of the things that they love the most is the fact that you lot, the fans, actually shout out thanks to TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. That has meant worlds to us and to this network mm-hmm. and to them. So it is dead important that you take to the Twitter, you take to the social media, and you must please throw out there thanks at TSO Host for supporting At British Tech. It means everything. That is exactly what they want, the brand recognition. So please go and do that. If you listen to this show or any others on the network, The Daily Show, whatever, please just go out and tweet that out. That'd be absolutely brilliant. Thanks, TSO, for supporting us. You can listen to every show that we've got, thanks to them, because they give us a massive amount of storage and it works. It just works.
Yep,
and we've not had any issues since we started. It's been absolutely brilliant.
Zero.
We've had some issues in the past with other providers of hosting services. We've had nothing at all as an issue mm-hmm. with TSO Host. It just rolls over every month. Perfect. No worries at all. So thanks to TSO Host. We're looking forward to doing loads more with you. It's going to be great. I've also been back in touch with Digital Glue, who are a PR firm here in Birmingham. They're the people that represent Spider. So they've given me the brand new Spider 8 to review. So I've got that to unpack and wire up and have a go with and see about screen calibration, all the stuff that can do as well. So and we might be giving that away as a surprise afterwards.
Nice.
That's really cool. You know, I've been at various points over the years in a position where I needed to have screen calibration, mm-hmm. and I've always loved the Spider hardware. I think they do really great stuff. So that's cool.
They do.
We
reviewed the Spider 5, and that was a totally, it was a brilliant, brilliant experience. It was very, very good. Very, very subtle. Did two screens really, really well. One of the things that I've had in the past with calibrators, when I've done two screens, you look at them, they're kind of like, actually, those are two slightly, they're ever so fractionally different. These two screens, when they calibrated, are absolutely perfect. But I use calibrators every month, so I always recalibrate my screens to make sure that they're right. So I'm looking forward to this one. Be really good. Really, really good. Right, time for the cool thing. Starts off dark. What have you got?
I don't know if I talked about this before, but I got this, and this is a Rode Wireless Go.
Now, I saw these, and I wondered whether they were good or crap.
Oh, it's incredible. It's really, really incredible. I haven't had a chance to fully test it for distance. And depending on your like subject or whatever, you may have some just weird time finding where to clip it because it's heavier than a standard lapel. But it is good enough that you can kind of have it slightly off camera. And I just stick it in the soft held on a super clamp or some small little clamp, and I just sit it right underneath the frame and it works. But it also has a spot where you can, if you have a traditional lav like such, you can just plug it in. Mm-hmm. And it is incredible. Like, I absolutely love it. Best $200 I ever spent. And it's a Rode mic, so it sounds good. They made a lot of the reviews. A lot of the original reviews talked about the little afros popping out, the dead cats. But they reformed it so they don't pop out as easily anymore. You actually got to yank them out. And it's worth $200. I mean, like, seriously, if you do any filming and recording and you want a mic system that's easy to just link up and put it somewhere. The other thing that's really cool about it is in a situation where you might necessarily want to laugh because of the cord, you can literally just, I use nano tape and stick it to the wall and, you know, it's right there. Or you can stick it in the kitchen behind when you're frying to get those frying noises. And yeah, it's cool. Yeah. It's hard to describe how awesome it is. $200, Rode Wireless Go. Grab it from Amazon or Rode.com.
$200 to catch your frying noises. Excellent, mate. Money well spent. Jeff, your cool thing is?
It's Linea Sketch, which I may have picked at one point a while ago.
I think you did this just before summer.
Oh, probably. But see, that's been so long ago.
Worth doing again.
Who knows? But here's the deal. I'm picking it now because they just rolled out their iOS 13 and iPad OS update. So, it can do dark mode and all the iOS 13 stuff. But they added in new brush controls and new controls for making geometric shapes. And one thing they did that to me is like really cool. If you have several graphics that you've created, you can now put those into a multi-page or export those as a multi-page PDF where you have control over the layout, and it's very cool what they're doing with the app while at the same time keeping it from turning into a complicated mess.
No, good. Like that. Like it a lot. Did you say a price?
Oh, I don't remember. I think it's like $10.
Okay, cool. Thank you, mate. Good pick. Patrice, what have you got for us?
Yeah, my pick has a little bit of a story attached to it. As you might have heard, I got married like a month ago, and the friend of mine who's like a professional photographer took all the photos. Actually, two friends of mine, like her and her husband. But I did all the editing because I could, and like I didn't want to bother them with it. So I needed an app for that because like I used Lightroom in the past, was never a big fan of their like library management stuff. And I simply lost the subscription. Like I had it through my company, but like now I don't. So I was like, do I resubscribe to like Adobe Creative Cloud or do I find something else? And I did quite some research and I found I simply didn't want to pay the money for Adobe. I didn't really think it was worth it, and I didn't want to pay like hundreds of $1,000 a year. So I was like, yeah, no. And I found a really good and highly recommended app from a lot of professionals that I tried. I tried actually a couple, and it's On1 Photo Raw. The link I put in is the 2020 version, which is now in beta. Yeah, you can still get the older version, and it works really well. What I really liked about it is like the editing tools are really good. And it does not touch your photos. Like you can literally browse to a folder where your photos are for your project and everything is kept in there. So it's not messing with your photos. Like what Ewan always says in like the photo room and everywhere else, like use folders, use Finder. This app like respects that and simply says wherever you put your photos, that's where they're going to be. And it is really easy to use. The tools are really good. I've honestly not found major differences between that and Lightroom, like from like workflow and quality wise. I mean, I might not be the best person to judge that, but like at least for me, it did the job. And it's like, I mean, I actually was on the free, I think 30-day beta or like trial when I did all the editing, but I'm definitely going to buy it because it is really good. And it's like $99 for like the full version, and it's free forever. Like you pay for $99 and that's it. And I think they have like every year or every 2 years, they have a new version that you could buy if you wanted to. And as I said, like the 2020 beta is out. Like you can get it for free if you want to try it.
Excellent. Good pick, mate. I like that. I'll give that a go. I'll certainly sign up for the beta and trial it.
Yeah, I highly recommend. As I said, I tried a couple, and this was the one that I really liked the most.
Excellent. I just downloaded it because I've been playing with Capture One, mm-hmm. and it's Capture One is awesome. It's a little complicated.
And that was the other one I tried.
Luminar is my favorite at the moment, mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah.
Good pick. Excellent. My cool thing is free. And it is the F1 manager game on the iPhone and iPad. It's I like my F1. I do enjoy my F1. And this is actually really quite fun. It's got the two currency thing, which pisses me off a little bit. But I played it now for a week, and I'm doing all right, and I haven't bought anything off it. There is in-app purchases you can make if you really want to. But it's kind of cool. You pit your wits against other people around the world and play for money, which is a bit gambly, which I don't like. But you can just play the races and slowly upgrade your car, and you don't have to spend any money on it. It's fine. It works. Mm-hmm. I haven't got to the point where I have to spend money yet. So thank you very much, whoever developed it, because I've enjoyed it a great deal. It's cool. Right. Where can we get a hold of you, Doc?
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK, mostly fleshing out the YouTube channel. English, again, is my second language. And the last 2 weeks of October, I shall be in Hokkaido, Japan. So hopefully I can make it, and I will speak Japanese the whole show.
If you're Japanese, Jeff, and you're in Hokkaido, then you can speak to Doc in your native tongue.
Sweet.
So this.
That's
it. And look at the interwebs, because I'm picking up the phone in an hour, and I'll let you know what about it.
I got to say, actually, I would suggest that there's probably a really good competition here. So this year, because it's going to take a year, but this year we're going to run a competition. Whoever can shoot our doppelgangers from around the world and send them in, we'll put them up.
Oh, that would be so much fun.
In fact, actually, what we could probably do is invite them on the show. That would be cool if we can find our absolute doppelgangers and get them on.
The show may be better.
That will be cool. So there you go. There's a challenge to everyone.
I can give you a shortcut. Just call Vin Diesel.
If you can go, no, you're nothing like him.
I'm way cooler than that nerd.
So there you go. Go out and see if you can find our doppelgangers, and we'll put their pictures up on the thing. Doc, if you're out there, are you going to the rugby, says Muller? Rugby World Cup's on.
I normally try to get a professional sporting event in wherever I go. It depends on the time. Normally I get either baseball or footy. But yeah, we'll see. If there's
you get a Rugby World Cup ticket, mate, and you can send it to me afterwards with a genuine program and that kind of stuff, I'll love you forever.
In Hokkaido?
Anywhere.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a game there or not. There might be.
Yeah, whatever you guys want, I'm down.
Excellent. Jeffrey, where can we get a hold of you?
I'm easy to find. I'm over at textexpander.com. And I'm Jay Gamet on Twitter and Instagram, and you can catch me in a couple hours here.
Big show. We've got a big show coming up. Two shows in 1 week. Amazing.
Wow.
I know. It's a very exciting day for me because we've gone so long without shows, and then two in 1 day.
Excellent.
So I'm easy to find.
We're good. And Patrice, what about you?
Well, you can find me every week here. Well, every week when it's happening here in the Mac show.
Yeah, I guess we need to be here for that.
And in the Slack room and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
We have a spare seat on Big if you want to join us as well. So
I'll do that.
Do that, right? That's good. We're now up to a full seat. We're a full house. Manage your ranking. Get me at you and ranking on Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram at 12 Space Media. That's that logo there. We're planning to be back next week. Who knows, eh? Have a great week, and don't forget to shout out to TSO Host, because it's going to be great. What we're doing with them is going to be absolutely wonderful for everyone. So thanks very much for listening. See you next week. Have a great weekend.